HarperCollins presents Beneath a Starless Sky by Tessa Harris, read by B. Holland. Prologue. Munich, Germany, 1940. Tilting her silver head towards the gramophone player, the old woman listened to the shellac 78 crackle into life. As the needle scoured out the music, Fred Astaire's voice rose, crooning from the grooves. Dancing in the dark, da-da-da-da-da. A smile twitched her lips. It didn't matter that she couldn't understand the foreign lyrics. Fred Astaire, in his white tie and tails, would scoop her up in his arms and whirl away all her thoughts of despair. Outside, the city slept under curfew. The only distant sound came from armoured trucks and lorries that rumbled relentlessly along the main highway, taking men and machines to war. Inside, in her dark and damp apartment, its windows blacked out, the old woman was left rocking in her one remaining chair. All the others had been burned in the Kachelofen, the huge green tiled stove in the corner. Dancing in the dark. Da-da. The song was a welcome distraction from contemplating her own mortality. It made her think of her daughter, of happier times. Lily had given her reason to hope, slipping out of Munich unremarked by the authorities just 2 days before. She'd left behind the travel papers for her and her granddaughter. The plan was to escape to Switzerland with the little girl, asleep now in the next room. They would both be safe there, safer, until Lily returned. But nothing seemed to go to plan in war. When the music's blue notes made the melancholy return, the old woman stroked the black cat on her knee. It was better fed than her. Starvation could be the possible cause of her death, and if not starvation, the cold, if she made it to winter. Or, of course, she might even catch diphtheria from her little granddaughter. That was the most likely cause at the moment. The child had been suffering for several days, although her fever had broken a while back, and now there were signs of improvement, she still remained weak. Now, however, the old woman herself was feeling a little flushed. Her throat was sore, and her old bones ached even more than usual. There was, of course, another way she could meet her end, although she constantly tried to push it out of her mind. They could come for her. Some of her friends had already gone, and she doubted she would ever see them again. When faced with the thought of either starvation or hypothermia, diphtheria seemed much more preferable. Dying in a camp would be the worst. But however death came, she prayed it would be quick. As it happened, the old woman was spared the indignities of nearby Dachau, and at least her end, when it came, was swift, if rather brutal. She was fortunate, too, in that she was alerted to her executioner's approach before she actually saw them. When they came that evening, their heavy tread echoing up the stairwell and their thick voices bouncing off the walls, she would not have heard them over Astaire's serenade at first. But the cat did. It heeded them all right and leapt off her knee. In the few seconds between being alerted to her killer's advance and their knock, the old woman knew exactly what she had to do. Scrambling into the bedroom as fast as her creaking legs would carry her, she lifted the child from the bed where she slept. In the bathroom, there was a small chest where towels and sheets were kept. She laid the little girl on one, then covered her loosely with the rest. The pounding fists and the shouts that followed a second later were momentarily silenced as, nervously, the old woman opened the door. When she saw the four of them, an army officer and his three soldiers, standing there, smelling
Sample complete. Ready to continue?